Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
You're listening to episode 872 of Gamertag Radio. This is Paris, and I am here with Pete.
Good morning. What's up, dude?
Not much. I mean, hey, this is Avengers Endgame weekend. I'm going to go have my second viewing later today, which, by the way, this will be a short episode. No Danny this week. He was actually in Memphis, Tennessee. He was a part of the St. Jude's event that they had. He'll have a lot of content coming from that, so look for that coming here in the next few days to weeks on Gamertag Radio. So before we get started, I want to remind everyone, you can go check us out over at gamertagradio.com. You can find the podcast over at Audio Boom. You can find us on iTunes. We're on Spotify. I do believe we're officially on Pandora now. I believe
that's
for sure
correct.
I saw that.
Officially, yep. On Pandora.
Yep. And basically anywhere your favorite RSS feed, you can get Gamertag Radio. Of course, social media at Gamertag Radio. And Danny, let everyone know where they can leave us feedback.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so like I said, this is going to be a short episode for this. We just haven't, you know, gotten together back on our routine, so we want to start getting back on the routine of recording episodes because we've had a lot of one-offs, daily conversations, things like that. But I wanted to get together this morning to at least address some of the feedback that we've been getting. So we have a few voicemails. We have some emails that we want to read, obviously, from our Discord channel as well. We have our feedback channel where people can leave us messages. So Pete, are you ready? Should we start it off with one of the voicemails?
We'll finish it off with voicemails.
Okay.
We'll intersperse. We only have two voicemails. Like you said, we're going to be a short episode today, so you can go get your second viewing in. So let's go with some writtens, and we'll go from there.
Okay. All right. I'm going to start off with Black Knight. What is this? 22K6. He is saying, "Hey guys, I listened to episode 857, and I agree with Paris in regards of Sony not taking the risk in competing with xCloud and Stadia for 2019. You see, I read one, but someone agrees with me. Of course I did.
You would.
And also with Xbox Live going free. But the biggest impediment for this technology is internet usage caps that makes this option for people with unlimited internet only so with that in mind, do you guys think that the community will come together in the future to pressure ISPs to change their policy with internet caps? Take care and keep up the good work." And obviously we've talked about the Stadia and PlayStation Now and xCloud and all that stuff. But the part of this email that I want to get is his issue with the ISPs. And obviously we have data caps. And this is mostly in the United States, probably not a global problem. But in the United States, you have a lot of ISPs that had data caps. And the way that it works in the United States, it's not like I can get mad at Comcast and hop over to Fios, right? It's either you get the internet that you have in your area and that's it. There's not a lot of variety. You can't basically shop for the best option like you can with a cell phone carrier, right? So unfortunately, I think with the way legislation works in the United States and where we are right now, it is what it is. I don't think even if a Sony or a Google or a Microsoft or an Amazon tried to change that policy, unless there was some big political pressure to get the laws changed, we're stuck with what we have. Data caps aren't going to go away anytime soon. And basically the territorial way that ISPs work in the United States, that's not going to go anywhere anytime soon either. What are your thoughts, Pete?
I 100% agree. The way that cable companies or internet providers actually divvy up their regions and districts, there's very, very minimal overlap, which prevents, you know, the regular consumer from being able to, you know, shop around and say, okay, I'm going to say AT&T is offering this, but Comcast is offering this and CenturyLink is offering this. You're usually stuck with one, if not maybe in some slight cases, a second carrier. And sometimes those second carriers are smaller carriers that are basically riding on the same service that you just shopped around with, for example, Xfinity. So unfortunately, until the infrastructure in the United States is brought up to snuff, basically to the rest of the world, where you don't have a lot of, you know, where free market, where a more free market is available, that's when you'll start to see the reduction of data caps, if not the total abandonment of data caps, as well as a much lower price. If you take into consideration if you try to compare what the costs of internet are elsewhere in the globe compared to what we're getting, we're getting a fraction of what typically should be received, right? We should be getting higher speeds and no data caps for a much lower cost. And that's unfortunately, if we're talking about it, but they're basically hamstringing us as a consumer. And that's what we need in order to help facilitate things like Stadia and Project X Cloud and Netflix and all the other online offerings. That's what we need to have here in the United States. So talk to your local representatives, talk to your local governments, and see what we can do to start opening up these conversations between carriers and providers, make it easier for the consumers.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much completely agree with you. I mean, that's all we can do. Thank Black Knight for that email. Let me go ahead and jump in and read another one really quick, and then you can hop in with one as well. But this one is coming from D Havoc, and he is saying, "What's up, y'all? With Cuphead now on Switch, with Xbox, I can't read. I'm just telling you this right now. I can't read. I'm 45 and I can't read. I don't. My school in St. Petersburg, Florida is terrible. Okay. What's up, y'all? With Cuphead now on Switch, which Xbox game would you like to see next? It's a shame that Microsoft took risks with games like Quantum Break, Sunset Overdrive, ReCore, and they won't get sequels, but maybe these can benefit on Switch with Game Pass. Would be cool. Thoughts? Thanks, guys." So actually, I saw a rumor that we may get a sequel to ReCore. So it may not be complete doom and gloom as far as that goes. And to take this fully back to 2013 before answering your primary question, Microsoft came out with some exclusive IPs of titles. Like you said, Sunset Overdrive, Quantum Break, Rise was another one. We got later on with ReCore, things like that. And let's just be frank, they weren't that successful. They weren't the kind of exclusive titles that would make you go run out and buy an Xbox One. They weren't these must-have titles. I know Sunset Overdrive, which I'm not personally a huge fan of, does have a big cult following out there. And I believe the rights to that game has reverted back to Insomniac. So Insomniac doesn't necessarily have to release it on Xbox. If they were to get a publisher that would back them, they could release a sequel to it if they so chose. I mean, who knows? We'll see in the future. But the reason I bring that up is another game that they had that came out that was exclusive was Ori and the Blind Forest. And we are getting a sequel to that. And it looks like that's either going to come later this year or probably early 2020. And to go to your primary question, I believe that would be the obvious no-brainer next game to show up from Microsoft on the Switch would be the first Ori and the Blind Forest. If anything, I would imagine that they would probably time it so that when they're ready to put out the sequel on the Xbox, they put out the original on the Switch. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, maybe later on the sequel then would come to the Switch as well. And there's also been rumblings of a Cuphead sequel coming, which to me, again, just seems like a no-brainer. I know with the development style, the animation style that they do for Cuphead, it is a pretty long process. So maybe we won't see it for a while. My guess would probably be 2020, 2021 at the earliest for a Cuphead sequel. But then again, obviously that can come on the Switch or whatever its successor would be as well. I personally like that Microsoft is starting to branch out beyond just their quote-unquote console platform. They're obviously going to be very PC heavy as we go into the next generation, and they've started this relationship with Nintendo to see some of their games to get ported over to the Switch. Maybe eventually we do see some form of Game Pass make it over to the Switch, and some of those titles can come as well, Rabbids Can XCloud and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think Ori would probably be the next game to come over to the Switch, and I would expect they would try and bring some other titles as well as the technology allows, you know, on that platform. So Pete, what do you think?
I think if there was an opportunity, it would be with Insomniac and Sunset Overdrive. They do own the IP. That was actually part of the original negotiations when they came on. But the title itself, the release, is Xbox One exclusive. So unfortunately, I don't know if that title will ever make it to another platform unless Microsoft makes it, you know, makes, you know, some kind of addendum to the agreement. Does not say that, or doesn't prevent them from maybe going out and doing a sequel that's available on multiple platforms, because at the end of the day, they do own the IP. Just that first initial installment was locked in towards the Xbox One. So, I mean, that'd be pretty cool. I mean, that'd be good for those that are hardcore fans, people like Danny and them who appreciate that. I think, I mean, we should be thankful in some way, shape or form towards Sunset Overdrive, because that allowed Insomniac to take that same game style. And we saw what happened with Spider-Man, right? That was a fantastic release that they did last year. So I'd like to see that. As far as Cuphead, I wouldn't be surprised. That, or like you said, Ori. Ori is a fantastic title that lends itself perfectly to it being platform based. I think the Switch fits perfectly within that genre, or that style of gameplay or gameplay titles.
Agreed. Completely agreed. Nate, got another email?
Actually, I was going to throw up a voicemail. This one's kind of lengthy. Unfortunately, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to play all close to 6 minutes of it, so I'm going to chop it down in order for time. So here we go.
What up, Gamertag Radio? My name is Will. Just want to give a shout-out to you guys, man. You're the first podcast I've ever listened to. I've been listening for about a year since I got this new third shift job where I work by myself. Got tired of listening to music. Tried to give podcasting a try. Gaming is my hobby. Ended up coming across you guys. I've been listening ever since. I want to give a bigger shout-out to Danny, because his daily conversations, I think, is bigger than what it's been. I think it's changing the podcast game. I've been listening to podcasts since I started listening to you guys, and I listen to other podcasts, and the biggest thing they miss is that they only record like two times out of the week, and a lot of things happen every day. We live in a fast-moving society. Things happen. People die, all kind of things, and you know, with you, with the daily conversations, when something happens, you're able to call up Paris and call up, well, mainly Paris, and have a conversation about it, and I get to hear people's opinions about it that I've enjoyed listening to, and you don't get that anywhere else. So I think you're doing something big. I know you're in between jobs, and that's probably the reason why you had the time to do it. But hey, unlike a lot of people who are in between jobs, you're doing something crazy, man. And you know, you're being extra creative, and I really love what you're doing. But to not necessarily my question, it's my theory, and I want to hear you guys' opinion on it, whether I'm crazy or whether what I'm thinking is something that could possibly happen. If it can't happen, explain to me. I want to hear your reason why it could never happen. And because I don't know everything, I've never been in the industry as much as you guys have. I've just been a fan. I've been listening to this Launcher Wars. I've been listening to you guys' opinions and other people's opinion on YouTube. And I keep wondering why Steam isn't doing anything. I see the games that Epic is getting, and they've taken every AAA big title has come out in the last, 3 months at least, and everything coming in the future. I mean, they got Borderlands 3, man. We've been waiting 7 years for this, and they took it. And I have no problem with that. I'm new to PC. I bought it right around time, 3 months after PUBG hype, just like anybody else who bought a PC and 3 years ago bought it because of PUBG. PUBG, in my opinion, handily grew PC gaming a lot. Along with Twitch streamers, obviously, being the reason why PUBG. But PUBG and Twitch grew PC gaming a lot. And I'm part of that big boom. Didn't say anyone, I'm part of the big boom of the 2007 when online gaming blew up. That's when I really became a gamer, an online gamer. And that's when you guys said that's the golden era of online gaming. And that's when I came in. That's when I came in with PC gaming and switched over. So I don't understand why they're not doing none. They're losing a lot of money. And the only thing I can think of is Microsoft putting Master Chief Collection on Steam. What was the reason? And I believe it's bigger than just, oh, they wanted more people to play Halo. They didn't need to do that. They could have did that with, the games they should have did that with was Crackdown. The games they should have did that with was Sea of Thieves. The game they should have did that with is every other game other than Gears and Halo. Those are the ones that they cared that much about people playing it, PC gamers playing it. They should have put Gears 4 over to the thing. Now you can maybe say, oh, they learned from that, and that's why they're doing it with Halo.
Okay. I'm going to end it there because just in efforts of time, right? So I've been writing notes on this one because, you know, obviously I was kind of, I'm anti multiple launcher, right? But at the same time, I understand the reasons why from a business perspective. Part of that conversation is also, you know, geared towards what Tim Sweeney, you know, the head over at Epic has been doing. He had a long going thread over the last, you know, week on Twitter talking about the reasoning why, right? The reason why they're offering a 12% model basically is because Steam's revenue model right now of 30% is unfair towards developers and publishers and everyone in between, you know, and think about it. It's the reason why companies like Activision and Ubisoft, Bethesda, they all have their own launchers. You know, people go into business to make money, and there's no reason for them to give up 30% haircut right off the top from the rip just to put it on Steam. All Steam is an aggregator for you to play games, right? They don't do anything else. It's basically an online Best Buy. So why should they, you know, why should every other retailer of games automatically have to chop 30% just to play in the same ballpark, right? And actually, on top of that, Tim Sweeney actually said that Epic would stop snagging exclusives if Steam would just change their revenue model. And that's huge. That shows the change that's needed in the current, you know, in the current way that the video game industry runs, right? And the actual quote was, if Steam committed to a permanent 88% revenue share for all developers and publishers without major strings attached, aka exclusives, Epic would hastily organize a retreat from exclusives while honoring our partner commitments and consider putting our own games on Steam. That's huge. That's unheard of. And that's exactly the type of change we need to see to help make developers and publishers play a little bit more fair, and not, you wouldn't see these store exclusives with Epic and everybody else fighting just to play games on a particular launcher. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that. And if he is to be believed, and that is Epic strategy, we're the ones that win in the end on all this, right? Because it takes away the exclusivity. You can play it on whatever platform you want. It also helps developers because they can obviously have their games on all various platforms, and they're putting more money into their pockets to obviously pay their employees and to innovate more in the games, etc. So in that perfect world, we all win. To kind of go back to what he was saying as far as like with Microsoft putting Halo on Steam, mm-hmm. but they should put Crackdown, Sea of Thieves, all that kind of stuff. I mean, they already are. They're just not putting them on Steam directly. There, you can still play these games on the Windows platform on a PC if you so choose. So the option is there. The thing that Microsoft needs to fix is their quote unquote digital store, because let's just be honest here, the Windows store sucks. It stinks. It's not appealing. It's not where you're going to go to get your digital games, you know, for PC. Should they put them on all platforms? I personally would love to see it. Do I think they will? No, I don't think they will. I think that's about as far as they're going to go, is putting the Master Chief Collection on there. I don't think we're going to see Halo Infinite on Steam or on the Epic Store or GOG or anything like that anytime soon. But we're in an interesting place right now because transition is happening. Our platforms are changing. We're moving, obviously, console-wise into a next generation of gaming, but just even the way we consume that content is changing. Physical media is dying. That is going away, whether you like it or not. It is going away. The brick-and-mortar stores to get your content is going away. Sorry, GameStop. Do you really think GameStop is going to be around in 5 years? I don't. You know, I mean, the Walmarts and the Best Buy, even Best Buy might be sketchy in 5 years, but the Walmarts and the Targets will probably still be around, but a lot of these other brick and mortar stores are going away. And even if you do walk in a store to buy said games, all you're buying is a card with a code on it. You're still going to be downloading the games. Physical media goes away. And I know I'm tangenting off into this. This is part of the reason why it's already been rumored, or I guess, I don't know if it's 100% confirmed, but basically PlayStation 5 is sticking with Blu-ray for physical media, because there's no more, there isn't a reason to innovate on physical media anymore. Why? What are you doing it for? Blu-ray sales, 4K Blu-ray sales have fallen. I saw some insane number. They've fallen like 50% in the past, I don't know, 3 years or something crazy like that. I'd have to go look it up specifically, but it is a drastic number that physical media sales of just movies are going away, let alone with gaming, right? So yeah, you'll probably still be able to get the next Xbox and the next PlayStation will come on a disc. But even as it is right now, all it is just a way to carry the data to your machine. Yep. Any updates, day one updates, all that stuff, you still have to basically rip all that information onto the hard drive. The games that you play even today are on your hard drive, right? So having a disc, all it is a DRM check. That's all it is at this point. So I know that's tangenting away from what he was talking about, but it just goes to the point of, like it or not, you're going to have to engage with some kind of digital storefront in the future to play your games. Obviously, if it's on PlayStation, they're going to have theirs. Xbox is going to have theirs. Nintendo is going to have theirs. And then on the PC side of it, like it or not, you're going to have a Steam, you're going to have an Epic, you're going to have a GOG, you're going to have a Uplay, you're going to have an Origin, on and down the list, depending on, you know, what type of game you're trying to play and what your preference is going to be. But if what Sweeney is saying is true and Epic stops doing the exclusive stuff, like I said at the beginning, as gamers, we all win. I know that was long-winded, but that was a long-ass voicemail, so I figured I had a long-ass answer. but thank you for that. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Will. All right, throw up another voicemail. Here we go.
Hey, what's going on, Gamertag Radio? How are you guys doing, man? This is Keon calling from Baltimore. I just had a quick question for you guys pertaining to E3. I wanted to know, do you think that Sony will unveil something big at E3? Now, we know that they're not going to be there, at least physically, but we've seen that Sony can be very tactful. They can be very strategic, because we could see that when Xbox, they had the Inside Xbox event, and we saw that Sony had actually announced the specs on the PlayStation 5. So I wanted to know, do you guys think that they'll do something like that to take away a bit of the thunder from Microsoft at this year's E3? And if they would do that, do you think it would be a Days Gone or a big enough announcement? Just wanted to get you guys' opinion on that. And thank you so much for everything that you guys do. And you guys take care and have a good one. Bye-bye.
Thank you. The always anticipated, the always loved Keon from Baltimore. Thank you for calling in as usual. E3, do you think they're going to bring in anything other than what we already know?
Oh yeah, I'm sure they will.
Outside of those titles though, like, I mean, obviously Days Gone just released this week, so obviously it's not going to be a title, but you think there's going to be something that we haven't seen already or already announced, or do you think that they're what they do announce from a games library perspective is going to be PS5 related?
Here's what I think. I think of the quote unquote mainstream big AAA titles, no, I don't think we'll hear anything. I think some smaller, some VR titles, some AA titles, some exclusive indie titles, we'll get announcements on that. And they'll be for the PlayStation 4. I don't think we'll hear anything PlayStation 5 related at the earliest. Maybe if they do another PSX at the end of the year, maybe. Most likely early 2020, we'll start to hear rumblings of things like that. And if they return to E3 2020, which I think is very debatable in my opinion, but that would be the full reveal blowout of whatever they're going to have specifically for PlayStation 5. I do think we're going to see some cross-generational things for PlayStation 5 as far as Death Stranding, Last of Us 2. I think they will debut on the PlayStation 4, but you'll be able to take that, and they've already said there's going to be backwards compatibility, but you're going to be able to take that PlayStation 4 disc of those games and play it on a PlayStation 5, and it's going to quote-unquote upgrade to take advantage of the PlayStation 5. I think those will be some of the first titles to do that. I think, like, from a third-party standpoint, you'll see things like an Assassin, whatever that new Assassin's Creed, as an example, will probably do something similar. And I'm sure Xbox is going to have a similar strategy as well, where, yeah, they'll continue to push games into 2020 that'll play on the current consoles, but they'll upgrade themselves to be playable on the next generation platforms as well and take advantage of that new hardware and technology. I think Cyberpunk will be another similar game in that vein as well. So that's my thought.
Cool. All right. Well, I know we're pressed on time. Do you have any more emails or anything from Discord?
I'll read a fun one real quick because when you direct send one to me directly, I like to read ones that have my name in it. So here we go. He goes, this is Simon Phoenix, and he goes, this is from Discord. Again, join our Discord, our channel, discord.gg/GTR. If you're listening to this, you can sign up, and we have a specific channel called Fan Mail where you can leave us emails and questions and all that good stuff directly there. So here we go. Simon Phoenix says, hey, GTR, I've been listening since the episodes leading up to the 1X release, and y'all been my favorite podcast ever since. Clearly, he listens to ones that Danny is not on. This is mainly directed. I'm being an ass. This is mainly directed at Vicious696. That is me. But feel free to throw in your thoughts as well. And Pete, I'm sure you will. Are you pumped by the news of the live action Cowboy Bebop movie? It's a series on Netflix, technically. Also, how excited are you with the casting choice? More importantly, that of Spike Spiegel. I hope they do right by source material. I'm definitely pumped for this. Look forward to the response. Keep up the awesome work, Felix. Felix, thank you so much for this question. Cowboy Bebop is near and dear to my heart. I've talked about this in the past many times. And just to clarify, you said movie in the email, but I'm sure you meant about there's a Netflix series coming for Cowboy Bebop. And Danny is messaging us offline.
Yes.
Should have been on the show. I ain't even going to read it. Delete. All right. But as far as my thoughts on it, I'm excited for it because Shinichiro Watanabe is involved. He is the creator of Cowboy Bebop. And the early casting that they've shown has been very solid. I mean, to get John Cho to be Spike is great. I mean, he's a fantastic actor. He's been in many, many different things over the years. You can look up his IMDb, but he's a great actor. Spike is Japanese. I honestly, if they would have casted a white guy, I would have been upset because he's not white. He's Japanese. That's the whole point, right? So to get him to be the actor, I loved it. I don't want to blank on all the different names, but Mustafa Shakir, I think I'm saying his name right.
I think so.
I think so. He was the villain in Luke Cage season 2. I think getting him as Jet looks fantastic as well. I do not know the actress that is playing Faye, and her name's like Daniela Pineda, and then they got Alex Hassel to be Vicious, which again I've said a million times. My name Vicious696 is directly from him, that villain. He's one of the greatest villains of all time, anime, cinema, whatever. I love Vicious. So it seems like very inspired casting to me. I'm excited for it to see what they'll do. As long as they're faithful to the source material, I'm okay. The only thing, and I don't think this has been confirmed, is allegedly Einstein, the dog, is not going to be a corgi. It's going to be a husky. Am I right in saying
something
that?
Like that? We talked about that a couple episodes back. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope that's false. That would be my only thing. You trying to tell me you can't get a corgi? You can't train a corgi to be an artist? So we'll see. And they've obviously not said who they're casting as Ed yet. So that'll be key as well, who they cast as Ed. But so far, so good. Looks great. I'm excited to see what they'll do with it.
Yeah, I remember that episode was a really good episode that we had. And we talked about that, I think, mostly on the after show. But I'm curious. I want to know who plays Ed. Do you think that's probably the biggest one that they haven't announced? I mean,
yeah, because it needs to be a girl. but it needs to be someone, because remember, it was kind of ambiguous throughout the series.
They never identified.
Until the end, when we found out Ed's a girl. So it needs to be a girl, needs to be ambiguous of her gender throughout the show. And then obviously a big reveal at the end. So we'll see, because it needs to be a youngish actress who can play the role, who can play Wacky, obviously is a genius, the whole thing. So we'll see. We'll see. They're obviously purposely not casted that role yet, because they've not found the perfect Ed yet. But I'm excited for it. Just as long as they stay faithful to the source material, it doesn't need to be a one-for-one remake of everything. But there are obviously some very iconic shots throughout various episodes that I would like to see. I would like to see their take on the Ballad of Fallen Angels, which is episode 5 in the series. Just that's what made me fall in love with Cowboy Bebop, was that episode. You know, you got Mushroom Samba, which is hilarious. I would love to see their take on that. And then just there's just so many. Well, I could talk about the show all day, but I know we got to wrap this up. But yeah, thank you, Simon, for that. And before we get out of here, before I forget, Danny, remind everyone where they can leave us feedback.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. So, Pete, any last words before we get out of here?
Yes, because this is what Danny is telling us we have to do when he should be on the show doing this for us. In order to help us get to E3 and to help support the show. Danny. And help us do the things that we do, which is this podcast and the live stream. We do have a link up on Streamlabs, donate.gamertagradio.com. Helps support us, helps us get better equipment, helps us get to events and shows like E3 and those and things like that. It helps offset the cost of doing this on a regular basis. You know, on a regular basis. So if you can, much appreciated. You can do it whichever way you want to do it. If you want to do it via donate.gamertagradio.com, you want to drop us a link via PayPal direct, if you want to throw us bits or a subscription, anything you can provide is of course appreciated. It's not required, but if you choose to do so for us, with us, you know, we do love and appreciate anything you can do. So that's basically it. Paris, get out of here. Go watch Avengers Endgame again.
Yes, I'm going. Hey, look, I'm going to the fancy theater with the big cushy recliners and everything.
You're paying for the kids?
Look, it's going. Yeah. Take the kids again. We're going. Again.
Thought you were going by yourself.
No. Well, funny story on that, real quick before we get out of here. I actually had a 6:45 in the morning screening Friday morning. I was just gonna go again, and I was like, you know what? Because normally I could care less about going by myself. I go to movies by myself. I don't care.
Right.
And I thought about it after we saw it the first time opening night. I was like, I got to experience this again with the kids. I'm not going, so I cancel it. So.
Nice.
We're going to go Sunday.
Yeah.
But I'm excited, man. We're obviously not going to talk about spoilers or anything on that, but I'm about to have breakfast with Thanos and I'm excited for that. And it is a phenomenal bookend to 11 years of the MCU. It is a love letter to the fans. Let nobody spoil this movie for you. If you've not seen it yet, go see it. You'll laugh, you'll cheer, you'll cry. It's everything. And that last hour is an absolute spectacle. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw it Thursday night at the IMAX. And then I saw it again Friday night with my wife, just her and I. And I think I said this on Twitter. Seeing it for the first time was incredible. Seeing it the second time, but knowing what's coming and seeing the crowd response, seeing and hearing the crowd responses is almost as good as watching it for the first time. It's that well
this is
done.
This is why you go to the movies. Yes. This is why you still go to the movies and you don't just sit at home and watch things on digital. The energy from the crowd is so worth the price of admission.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure.
But okay, yep, let me get out of here and I will send this over to Danny so he can edit up and put it up. But I want to thank everyone for hanging out with us on Twitch. I want to thank everybody to listen to this on the podcast. We really appreciate it. This has been episode 872. Is my memory correct? And Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you soon with more Gamertag Radio.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.